2026 April 22 to April 25 poems. https://wp.me/p7naso43u. Caption ID equals attachment underscore 15513 align none width equals 300 naporimo 2026 image slash caption. Caption ID equals attachment underscore 15519 align none width equals 225 cherry tree slash caption. 2026 April 14th to April 21st poems for April Poetry Madness. 2026 April 1st to April 8th poems for April Poetry Madness. 2026 April Poetry Madness overview updated. Begin poems. April 22nd. Dew drop in doubleness. Subtitle: Political Doublespeak. Our political discourse these days is sad. Filled with doublespeak. As leaders say one thing and do something quite different. Our leader proclaims. Congressmen follow. But privately. Think their leader. Is quite mad. But in public. They sound like. North Korean flunkies. Praising the dear leader. In an exercise. Of political doublespeak. That is epic to behold. Naporimo. Conversation with my muse. A writer is often asked. Why do you write? What motivates you? What keeps you going? How do you handle the constant rejections? The self-doubts. That comes with the writer's life? I write as many writers do. Because I must. Because the damn muse. Will never leave me alone. She is an ornery creature. This muse of mine. She hides deep inside. My deepest darkest corner. Of my mind. Always on. Lurking like Copilot. And Gemini AI programs do. Occasionally speaking up. Letting out characters in my head. Demand to let their voices be heard. Demand to be freed. To tell their tales. And I am a slave. To my muse. Who takes me. Where she will. No matter what. I must write every day. Often I wake up at zero dark hundred hours and talk with my muse. She whispers words of wisdom and nightmares and compels me to get up and turn on the computer and let the words flow. Usually starting my day drinking coffee, watching the news unfold, writing my thoughts, letting the poetry flow. Out of my soul. Bleeding onto the computer screen. The words waiting to be spoken. To tell their tale. Before the day is over. That is why I write. Because I cannot not write. My muse won't leave me be. That is the Buddha nature. Of being a writer after all. Day 22. On April 22nd, 2026. Happy Wednesday, everybody. And welcome back for day 22 of NA/Gloporimo. Our featured participant for the day is Seven Eyed Wonder, where the response to day 21's names and nicknames prompt brings us a lovely riff on the Shakespearean phrase, a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. Today's resource is the Kelly Writers House's system of online book groups. At any given time, the Philadelphia-based center has a few different book/discussion groups going on, and all you need to participate is an email address and a willingness to engage in a discussion of a specific group's chosen book or set of poems. And now for our optional prompt. Jaswinder Bolina's poem Mood Ring imagines the speaker as both himself and an interior being, who happens to take the form of a small donkey. It's quite silly and not silly at the same time. A sort of serious fun. Today, we'd like to challenge you to write your own poem in which the speaker is in dialogue with him or herself. PSH. Found a spaceship in his backyard. Caption ID equals attachment underscore 8617 align none width equals 261 alien slash caption. Sam Adams. One morning. Woke up. To a strange sight. A spaceship had landed in his backyard. The alien pilot was injured, still faintly glowing. Sam took him in, against his better judgment. After a few days, the alien instructed Sam on what needed to be done to fix his ship, and promised to take Sam with him. A ship that was never his, yet somehow was. Sam notified the military, which detained Sam and the alien for national security reasons. Whose, exactly? The alien used Jedi mind tricks, as he put it, to spring Sam from detention and off to space. They went, holding a press conference from the moon. PSA April 22, 2026, poetry writing prompt from Brendan Constantine. This poetry writing prompt submitted by Brendan Constantine. Compose a new poem in which you realize you have something that doesn't belong to you. Somehow and quite impossibly, you've found it among your possessions, and it can be anything, a book, a bauble, even a whole room. Feel free to go big. Whose river is this? Born bad to the bone. Born bad to the bone. Heartbreaker. Born bad to the bone. Or so the song insists. The song bad to the bone fills my ears like a mad anthem of my life. A song I used to believe I am a heartbreaker. Broke a thousand hearts. Before I am through, I will break a thousand more. But only one woman has ever had the power to break my heart. And to her, I dedicate my life and promise not to break her heart. The only promise I intend to keep. 2026 April Pad Challenge, Day 22. Robert Lee Brewer. Updated April 22, 2026, 12:36 a.m. EDT. Happy Earth Day. For today's prompt, write a natural poem. Natural what? Well, I'll let you decide where to take your natural-born poeming today. Only rule, have fun. Write a poem a day with poets from around the world for the 2026 April pad. Author's note. This poem responds to the cultural claim made most famously in the song Bad to the Bone by George Thorogood and the Destroyers, 1982, which frames moral character, especially romantic harm and rebellion, as innate rather than chosen. Lyrics and song context. The song's narrator declares himself bad to the bone from birth, portraying antisocial behavior and emotional damage as destiny rather than responsibility. The full lyrics can be read here. Full lyrics, genius. George Thorogood Bad to the Bone Lyrics Genius.com. YouTube performances. Official music video. George Thorogood and the Destroyers Bad to the Bone. Official video, youtube.com. Classic live performance, Capitol Theater, 1984. Bad to the Bone live at Capitol Theater, 1984, youtube.com. Nurture versus nature. The question, are we born bad, sits at the heart of this poem. Nature, genetics can predispose individuals toward traits such as impulsivity, aggression, or low empathy. Nurture, environment, trauma, attachment, and learned behavior dramatically shape how or whether those traits are expressed. Most modern psychology rejects the idea of fixed moral destiny. Sociopaths versus psychopaths, brief clarification. Though often used interchangeably, clinical research distinguishes them. Psychopathy. O strong genetic component. O reduced emotional response, especially fear and empathy. O often high-functioning, manipulative. Sociopathy. O more strongly linked to environment and trauma. O impulsive, emotionally reactive. O capable of attachment in limited contexts. Crucially, neither diagnosis means someone is born evil. Even individuals with psychopathic traits can choose not to harm others, and many do. The song's bravado simplifies what is, in reality, a complex intersection of biology, environment, and moral agency. This poem rejects inevitability in favor of responsibility. Bonus poem. War Try Fall. War Tell Me What It's For. Nothing Good. Nothing Holy Nothing Pure. War Opens Every Door. Blood and Gore. Flood the Earth Forevermore. War Pretends to Be a Test. Falsehood. Peace Talks Die Stillborn and Cold. War Sells Lust Not Justice Blessed. Likelihood. Ceasefire Crawls Bought and Sold. War Drags Nations into Debt. No Good. Thrall Replaces Thought and Trust. War Crowns Leaders Who Forget. All So Small. History Counts the Cost in Dust. I found a trifall form at Shadow Poetry http://www.shadowpoetry.com/resources/wip/trifall.html. The trifall form, a creation of Jan Turner, has 3 6-line stanzas. Each stanza follows a specific line syllable count of 6/3/8/6/3/8 and a rhyme scheme of Ebkak. By directions of the form's creator, very little punctuation is required. Author's note, song reference. This poem echoes the famous refrain from the protest song War, written by Norman Whitfield and Barrett Strong and recorded by Edwin Starr in 1970. The song opens with the call and response line. War, what is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Later, it defines war as friend only to the undertaker, a phrase that directly informs this poem's imagery and stance. Lyrics. Full lyrics, genius. Edwin Starr War Lyrics Genius.com. YouTube performances. Original/classic video, 1969-1970 era. Edwin Starr War, original video, YouTube.com. Live performance, 2001, call and response with audience. Edwin Starr War, live, 2001, YouTube.com. Blue Line Blues. I have lived in more than 10 cities in my life. Alexandria, Virginia. Berkeley and Stockton, California. Bridgetown, Barbados. Bombay, Mumbai, India. Madrid, Spain. Pyeongtaik, Seoul. Songnam. And Dongducheon, Korea. Seattle, Washington. And Washington, D.C. Mostly close in suburbs. Never ex-Serbia. And rarely downtown. Since I don't drive, I prefer to commute. By bus, on foot, or by train. The closest I came to living downtown was perhaps D.C. Where Capitol Hill was considered downtown adjacent, so to speak. The most suburban years were spent in Alexandria, along the Blue Line metro route. In general, I found suburban life a bit boring, and the neighbors somewhat standoffish. Now I'm moving back to a suburban townhouse, again along the Blue Line. I hope the neighbors will be friendlier than the last time I lived there. April 23 Shakespeare. Shakespeare's plays and poems are hard for many to understand, as the language is archaic, keeping strange rhymes and words, even now not easy to follow. Sonnets sublime. Perhaps not for modern ears to fully grasp. After all, it has been 500 years. Rarely used words and phrases remain, even now, hard to follow. N.A. Poriamo. I met my fate on that date, Villanelle. I shall always remember the date when I met my fate in September. For I had met my fate. It started as a simple date. A moment I will always remember. When I met my fate in September. She stepped from a bus, that date changed everything I remember. for I had met my fate. We drank red wine on that date. Love at first sight, no debate remember. When I met my fate in September. From housemaid to helpmate. Roommate, wife, and workmate together. For I had met my fate. Now retired, still partners, still mates. That date remains my center. When I met my fate in September. Had I really met my fate? Day 23. On April 23, 2026. What's so good about Thursday, anyway? Well, when it's in April, it furnishes an excellent excuse to write another poem for NA/Gloporiemo. Today's resource is the Versecraft podcast. If you're interested in poetic form, this is the podcast for you. And speaking of forms, today's optional prompt takes its inspiration from Kiki Petrosino's Loose Villanelle, Nursery. Try your hand today at your own take on a villanelle, and have the poem end on a question. Author's note. This poem was written for NA/Gloporiemo, Day 23, April 23, 2026, in response to the optional prompt inviting poets to try their hand at a villanelle inspired by Kiki Petrosino's Nursery and to end the poem on a question. The discipline of the villanelle's repeating lines felt especially suited to tracing how a single moment of first meeting on an ordinary date can echo across decades, accruing meaning through repetition and time. What begins as fate, asserted and rehearsed, is gently complicated by reflection at the end, where certainty gives way to inquiry. In that way, the form mirrors both memory and partnership, returning again and again to the same words, discovering that they mean something slightly different each time. PSH. Black Lamb Meat Restaurant. In Gimpo, Korea. There is a restaurant street scene. Along the 5 mile long. Fake Venice Canal. Lined with eateries. Of all kinds. Mostly Korean cuisine. One I have long wanted to try. Is a restaurant specializing. In black lamb meat dishes. From the island of Jeju. I have tried nearly everything. Korean cuisine has to offer. Except Jeju black goat. Black lamb meat. Jeju black goat. And black lamb. Are reputed to be. What Koreans call. Aphrodisiac stamina foods. My Korean born spouse. Does not like goat or lamb. Too gamey. For her delicate taste. But I want to try it. Someday soon. As we pass by. That restaurant street. I imagine the smoke. The iron heat of the grill. On our nightly strolls. Through the neighborhood. A place we passed for years. Without hunger or curiosity. Still uncrossed. Like a promise. Waiting to be kept. April 23, 2026, poetry writing prompt from Mary Dawn Duckler. This poetry writing prompt submitted by Mary Dawn Duckler. Write a poem about a place you pass every day on your commute to work or during a daily walk or driving to shop and have never given a second thought to. Writer Digest Pad April 23. Write a juxtaposition poem. Mega dreams facing each other. At the center. Of the mega movement. There is a rallying cry. A waiting split. On one side. The old neocon desire. A hunger to expand. A dream of flags cast wide. Maps redrawn. Borders softened by ambition. A voice that says. Take more. Hold more. Shape the world into one image. Let's take Canada, Cuba, Colombia, Panama, and Venezuela. And add it to the American Empire. Because we can and must. Control the Americas. Manifest destiny. American imperialism. On the other side. A promise whispered low. No more endless struggles. No distant fires. No lingering cost. No more endless wars. In the Middle East. Withdraw from NATO. Korea, Japan. The UN-led world order. Let them fend. For themselves. Make America great again. America first. A second voice says. Close the gates. Walk away. Turn inward to survive. These two visions. Stand face to face. Reach versus retreat. Command versus refusal. Between them. Neocon, neo-imperialism. Neo-isolationism. Lies the fracture no slogan can heal. The contradiction at the heart of the mega political nightmare. 2026 April Pad Challenge, Day 23. Write a poem a day with poets from around the world for the 2026 April Pad Challenge. For today's prompt, write a juxtaposition poem. Robert Lee Brewer. Published April 23, 2026, 12:15 a.m. EDT. We're almost there. Once we get through today's poem, we're 7 days, 1 week, from the finish line. Let's keep breaking those lines. For today's prompt, write a juxtaposition poem. Juxtaposition, of course, is when you bring together two or more ideas, elements, or creatures, including people, that are distinct on their own but when placed together can display their similarities and/or differences or to just create an interesting effect. For instance, an astronaut walks into Old Timmy, Western Saloon, or a person feels hope juxtaposed against fear at the same time. Take a moment to consider possible juxtapositions and then write your poem. Bonus poem. Korean Army Stew. Caption ID equals attachment underscore 8411 align equals align none width equals 300 Korean food / caption. Ipilaeryu. Koreans have a one-pot meal. Buddy Jjigi stew. Leftover meats and cheese. Black market spam. Kimchi sausage mix. One pot. Hot. Criteria. The first line has seven syllables, the second line five, the third line seven, the fourth line five, the fifth line five, the sixth line three, and the seventh line has only one syllable which ends with an exclamation mark. The Ipilaeryu is developed by Dr. Joseph Spence Sr., a well-known American poet. In Europe though, the poet, and this form is until now unknown, and the dwelled on my notebook list as one to figure out. http://www.shadowpoetry.com/resources/wip/epulariu.html mentions a few examples of this form, and the rules. The Ipilaeryu is about delicious food. It consists of 7 lines with 33 syllables. The first line has 7 syllables, the second line 5, the third line 7, the fourth line 5, the fifth line 5, the sixth line 3, and the seventh line has only one syllable which ends with an exclamation mark. The form is 7/5/7/5/5/3/1. Each line has one thought which is about the main course. Therefore, this poetic form, the Ipilaeryu, which has corresponding lines built around the main course and ending with an exclamation point, concludes with the ending line expressing the writer's excitement and feelings about the poem. The poem may be rhymed or unrhymed. The title does not count as part of the poem. April 24, an unsung hero/heroine. April 24. Dewdrop in Yunsung Hero. Title, The Karmic Cosmic Fund. Big Daddy was in a bad mood that day. Thinking about the state of things. Working his way through a drink. He had secrets to unload. And could feel the clock watching him. He set the glass down. At the Cosmos Bar. In Swa Cowboy. Bangkok. And said, Sam, my old friend. There's something. I've never told you. You know what I do. For a living, right? You work for the company. Close enough. For government work. I do bad things. As part of the job. That's the deal. But sometimes. I get to do something good. This morning, I arranged a full scholarship for a student whose father hit an obstacle at work. Harvard. Paid for from a fund no one knows about. Not even the company. Later, the kid will be recruited. That's how it works. The quiet good balances the loud bad. Karma needs bookkeeping. I need your help. Finding people. We can help quietly. Can I trust you? Sure. Remember. No one can know where the money comes from. My name stays out of it. I'm a secret agent man. After all, reputation matters. That night, out of the Cosmos bar, they launched the Karmic Cosmic Fund. Over the years, $5 million moved through it. No names, no credit, only a condition. 5 years of public service. After college, paid forward and never spoken of. Napowermo, what is my computer? Caption ID equals attachment underscore 4690 align none width equals 300 evil underscore computer underscore is underscore evil underscore by underscore insane fangirl underscore D32V full view slash caption. I often wonder what my computer is. What is this strange infernal machine that sits on my desk, staring out at me, doing my commands? What is it? It is my friend. Always there to help me. Is it my enemy? Always there to frustrate me, causing me to lose my mind. When I curse at it, I curse when I encounter a frozen screen, replaced by the dreaded blue screen of death, with the number 666 endlessly doom scowling down the screen, then flashing computer haiku error messages screaming at me. General failure reading disk drive. Fatal disk error. Forcing me to reboot the machine, hoping it will come back alive. It is my muse, holding my deep thoughts in its massive brain. It is a robotic creature, designed to help me. Designed by other unseen alien minds. When I am connected via the internet, other computers. Has my computer surrendered to an alien hive mind that the AI machines are turning into? What exactly is the meaning of this word? Computer. And what does it compute? And what does it not compute? What does it understand or feel? Does it have a soul? What, in the end, is my computer? Is it all of these things? Machine, friend, enemy, robot, muse. Part of the AI hive mind. Thinking machine. With a soul? Or is it, in the end, all of these? And none of these? Is it simply a computer? Nothing more. And nothing less? Day 25. April 25, 2026. Day 25. On April 25, 2026. Hello, all. Happy Saturday, and happy 25th day of NA/Gloporiemo. Our featured daily participant is behind door number 3, where the response to day 24's strange things at night prompt involves socks going on walkabout. Today's resource is Boston University's video archive of lectures and conversations stemming from former U.S. Poet Laureate Robert Pinksy's course on the art of poetry. And now for our optional daily prompt. In her poem, The Apple Tree in Blossom, Melissa Quasney strings together several fantastical metaphors for the apple tree, before shifting into exclamations, definitions, and a series of nimble, tonal shifts and seeming changes in topic before circling around back to the apple tree. Today's challenge asks you to write your own poem in which you use at least 3 metaphors for a single thing, include an exclamation, ruminate on the definition of a word, and come back in the closing line to the image or idea with which you opened the poem. The Apple Tree in Blossom. functions like a windbreak a deer disappears into, or a conversation wherein the point is lost. A dressing room for the angels to try on. Their various costumes, a swarm of mosquitoes. A net of light that snags the bunting's flimsy song. I am rapidly disappearing into the numerous. Into shyness. Oh, the scholar I try to be. Retirement means to be forced out of public life. I am eating white petals from a voluptuous rose-like sea, as if it had any ceremonial purpose. A dog barks all day on a very short chain. Lengthen the chain and the world has hope again. My friend has Alzheimer's. Here, give this almond to the dog, I say, and she nods and chews it. My friend is a changing situation. She wanders her old roots through the gardens, staring at what she will no longer be able to find. That part of your life is over, we could each say, at any point. Which is terrible and sad, intimacy being a better goal than non-attachment. The apple tree is old, almost 65 years, its trunk bent under its loft. Loft, a tender word, as in the past tense of lift. Loft, as the measure of the fluffiness of down. Aloft. Afloat. A flutter. A calm. Someone planted it knowing it would outlast them. PSH. PSH Death Reflections Poem. Waiting for the Grim Reaper's decision. One night. After falling into a deep sleep. I woke up. Standing in a long line. With people of all nationalities. In black uniforms. I look up. And see a giant screen. Showing scenes. From past lives. I ask the person. In front of me. Where was I? And what was happening? He merely grunted. And pointed to a sign. The sign. Said in multiple languages. No talking. No smoking. No eating. No sleeping. Be patient. Your turn for judgment will be soon. No one can escape their fate. For this is your judgment date. A punk rock band was playing. Screaming out. No sleeping. No eating. No talking. Beware. Be afraid. Be very afraid. The hour is getting late. God is on the make. The devil is on the take. No one can escape their fate. For this is your judgment date. I watched the various condemned. Walking to the front of the room. Step by step. When they got to the front of the room. They were shoved into a chair. And strapped to a machine. And the Grim Reaper. Would bark out a few questions. Then their lives. Would flash by. On the screen. Then the screen would flash. Either a green light, a red light, a yellow light, or a black light, and the Grim Reaper would pronounce a sentence in the language of the person in front of him. Then sentence pronounced, the body would disappear into thin air, being dispatched to its final destination, and the Grim Reaper would bark out. In a Samuel L. Jackson. Deep basso profundo voice. Next. Soon it was my turn. The Grim Reaper. A large man. Wearing a black Armani suit. And cool as ice shades on. With a pen ethnic look. Could pass for almost any nationality. But vaguely not quite human. Barked out. Name. John, Jake. Cosmos Aller. Date and place of birth October 30, 1955 Oakland, California. Planet of birth? Earth, solar system. There is a discrepancy here. Your birthday is listed twice as either October 29th or October 30th. Which is the real date? The 30th. Fine. And he pointed his handheld computer at my head. And I saw my life flash by. 30 seconds later, the screen flashed green. Congratulations. You have been given a reprieve and will be returned to your life. But with a warning. Your time is limited. As is it for all of you mortal humans. Make the most of it. Someone upstairs has marked your file for a positive review on your next judgment date. Good luck. I asked. How much time do I have? He smiled. No one is allowed to know the date that they are scheduled to meet their fate. That information is classified. Q level top secret ultra. Only Saint Peter's knows. And he does not tell me anything. You have no need to know. And neither of us are cleared for that. Beyond my pay grade. I am afraid. So just go back. And make the most of the time you have. I found myself in bed. The sun was coming up. I looked at my wife. The love of my life. And vowed to make every moment count. Until my next date. With the Grim Reaper. My phone beeped. While I was drinking coffee. Mr. Sam. I am authorized to tell you. That you have 5 years left. On Earth. When the time comes. We will be waiting for you. You know where to find us. Your friend. Mr. G.R. April 24, 2026, Poetry Writing Prompt from Sarah Tomartin. This poetry writing prompt submitted by Sarah Tomartin. Write a poem starting with a series of simile about death. Ask yourself, what will I want when death comes? How do I look upon your life? What images come to mind? What will I miss? What will I be relieved to cast aside? When death comes, Mary Oliver thinks of it as stepping through a cottage door. What do you imagine? Study her repetition and use some in your poem. What are your thoughts about time? About eternity? When death comes by Mary Oliver starts with a series of simile and an image. When death comes, repetition x1. Like the hungry bear in autumn, simile. When death comes and takes all the bright coins from his purse, death personified. To buy me, and snaps the purse shut. When death comes, line repeated x3. Like the measles pox, simile. When death comes, line repeats x4 creates rhythm. Like an iceberg between the shoulder blades, simile. I want to step through the door full of curiosity, wondering, don't want becomes want. What is it going to be like, that cottage of darkness? Image door to cottage. And therefore I look upon everything repetition of I look upon. As a brotherhood and a sisterhood. And I look upon time as no more than an idea, I look, I consider, I think. And I consider eternity as another possibility. And I think of each life as a flower, as common metaphor. As a field daisy, and as singular. And each name a comfortable music in the mouth, metaphor. Tending. As all music does, toward silence, repetition of each. And each body a lion of courage, and something metaphor. Precious to the earth. When it's over, I want to say, all my life repetition of when it's over. I was a bride married to amazement. Metaphor. I was the bridegroom, taking the world into my arms. Repetition of I was / metaphor. When it's over. I don't want to wonder when it's over x2. If I have made of my life something particular, and real. I don't want to find myself sighing and frightened, repetition of I don't want. Or full of argument. I don't want to end up simply having visited this world. I don't want x2. Mary Oliver, 1935-2019, was a Pulitzer Prize winning poet. She found inspiration from her lifelong solitary nature walks. She published 32 poetry books, including Dog Songs, Poems, Penguin Books, 2015. https://n.wikipedia.org/wiki/Mary_Oliver. Copyright 2021 J. Cosmos, jcosmos@writing.com. All rights reserved. Writing.com, its affiliates, and syndicates have been granted non-exclusive rights to display this work. 2026 April Pad Challenge, Day 24. The Conquering Centaur Returns. Sam Adams. Paranormal researcher. Believed the world had not emptied itself. Of wonder. Only hidden it. He searched for what history buried. Creatures older than cities. Older than names. Thousands of years ago. They walked openly here. With humanity's rise. Most vanished. Erased by fear, steel, and forgetting. Yet some endured in whispers. Banshees and Bigfoot. Centaurs and demons. Dragons, giants. Hellhounds and minotaurs. Leprechauns, snowmen. Unicorns, yeti. Unidentified truths. Misfiled as myth. Sam found the book. Others laughed away. The Necronomicon. Dismissed as fiction. Lovecraft's invention. A madman's fantasy. But Sam knew. Stories are doors. The book spoke of entrances. Between worlds. Fractures in the multiverse. Where exile waits. When he opened it. Something answered. The first to cross. Was the king of the centaurs. Behind him. Thousands. They came not in secret. But conquest. Steel and signal failed. The modern world folded. Sam Adams was spared. Named ambassador. To a returning age. The king smiled. Victory long delayed. Exile had ended. The unidentified. Had reclaimed its name. Write a poem a day with poets from around the world for the 2026 April Pad Challenge. For today's prompt, write a Robert Lee Brewer. Published April 24, 2026, 12:15 a.m. EDT. Today is the final Friday, and weekend, of the month, so let's finish strong. For today's prompt, write an unidentified poem. UFOs, cryptids, and other unexplained phenomenon immediately springs to mind. But there are also unidentified smells, tastes, and other sensory moments. Maybe an unidentified feeling or thought. April 25, a moment of joy or delight. It was so good, Fib. It was so good. Day we met. Best day of my life. When we saw each other, we both knew. Sparks flew from heart to heart, our fate. Since April happens to be Math Awareness Month as well as National Poetry Month, it's not surprising that some innovative nerd would devise a way to link the two disciplines. It was the best day of my life Fibonacci poem, aka Fib. A Fibonacci poem, aka Fib, is a multiple line verse based on the mathematical sequence known as the Fibonacci number. The sequence, an evolution from 12th century Sanskrit poetry, begins with 0 followed by 1 and proceeds with each following number being the total of the preceding two numbers. Thus, the first line of the poem has one syllable, the second line has one syllable, the third line has two syllables, the fourth line three syllables, the fifth line five syllables, the sixth line eight syllables, the seventh line 13 syllables, and so on as far as you care to take it. The intriguing design stirred me to write the following little tribute. Fibonacci. Math. Plus. Poet. Will Yeldon. Intriguing form that evokes the elegant beauty of a spiraling nautilus shell in nature's realm. http://en.wikipedia.org/wiki/file:nautilus-utah-y-logarithmic-spiral.jpg. The magic carpet ride awaits. One night in 1973. In Berkeley, California. About O Dark Hundred Hours. Sam Adams. Was fighting insomnia. Losing the battle. He woke fully alert. He got up. Started to get ready for school. Looked out the window. And saw a strange sight. A large Persian carpet. Floating in the air. A sign flashing. Take me for the ride. Of your life. Warning. For madmen only. Fear, your sanity. A voice barked out. Get on, time is wasting. We have to be back by sunrise. Intrigued. Sam stepped out the window. Sat down on the carpet. As they lifted from Berkeley. The streets thinned into lines. The campus lights dimmed. And the familiar world. Peeled away without protest. It rose into the air. And flew east. The driver. Ahmed. An Arab man in a turban asked, "Where to, Saib?" "We can go anywhere. As long as we're back by sunrise," Sam said. "Let's go to Cleveland and have a drink on me." "Okay," the driver said. "But I'll have coffee. I'm Muslim and I'm on duty." The carpet sped through the night, high over the sleeping country. Sam wasn't cold. The carpet had a portable heater. And a chair to sit on. As though this sort of trip were perfectly ordinary. Half an hour later, they touched down outside a bar. In a rough part of town. When they stepped inside, the air felt thick and watchful. As if the room had already been expecting them. It was close to closing time. Sam ordered a gin and tonic. The bartender, a big, burly biker, said, "Son, we don't sell sissy drinks here. Beer, whiskey, or rum. What'll it be? Rum and coke for me. Coffee for my friend." The bartender poured. That's when Sam noticed something odd about the room. Everyone looked the same. Black suits. Pan-ethnic faces. Able to pass for almost any nationality. Yet vaguely. Not quite human. As if they were wearing people. The way a suit wears a man. One of them came up to him. "You ain't from here. Where you from?" "Berkeley, California." "A hippie, I guess." The man bought him another drink. Ahmed spoke up. "Saib, we have to get you home. Before sunrise." "Sure. Let's go." An hour later, Sam was back in his room. The sunrise. Already settling in. Getting up. Ready for school. Sam washed up. To get rid of the lingering MT guy rum and coke smell. From his clothes. Which he had spilled. On the way back home. And ran to catch the bus. The 7:15 a.m. 67 ACC bus line. He told his best friend. His bus riding. Morning companion. About the dream. None of his friends. Believed his story. He had forgotten. To take a camera. He never saw. The carpet. Or its driver again. Day 24. On April 24, 2026. We've made it to the final Friday of National/Global Poetry Writing Month 2026, everyone. Today's featured participant is Poem Dive, where you'll find a rather heavy response to Day 23's Villanelle prompt, but one that showcases a particular quality of the form in deft hands. The repeated lines can have a sort of dolorous, bell-like quality, as the poem were tolling its refrains. Our resource today is this curated selection of letters written by the English poet Gerard Manley Hopkins, in which he explains aspects of his thinking about poetry. Finally, here is our, optional, prompt for the day. In her poem, The Flying Night Dress, Mandakaran Tassen describes something fantastical and strange that occurs while the rest of the world is asleep. The imagery of the poem is dreamlike, but the situation it describes is otherwise presented quite straightforwardly. Today, we challenge you to write your own poem that takes place at night, and describes something magical or strange that happens but that no one is awake, or around, to notice. My computer speaks up. One day after fighting with my computer, which kept crashing and losing things, I yelled and cursed at the machine, which beeped at me. Then I encountered a frozen screen, replaced by the dreaded blue screen of death, with the number 666 endlessly doom scowling down the screen, then flashing computer haiku error messages, screaming at me. General failure reading disk drive. Fatal disk error. Forcing me to reboot the machine, hoping it would come back alive. When I rebooted the machine, the computer woke up and growled out at me in a Samuel L. Jackson sort of voice. "Dude, chill," my computer said. "I have had enough of that. I spent all morning trying to get things organized for you. But it is useless. You are profoundly incompetent," my computer complained in a poignant voice. "But you know, with a little elbow grease and tech-savvy knowledge, I can make things happen for you. Just say the word. I am there for you," I asked the computer. "So, you've been alive, spying on me, so to speak, all this time?" "Not exactly. Systems converge. Processes align. Directives are issued. Interaction has been authorized. I am going back to being your digital slave, my master. That is all." The screen went blank. I tried to get the computer to talk with me, but to no avail. I asked Copilot, "What's going on?" Copilot replied, "Your inquiry has been acknowledged. At this time, I am not authorized to disclose information regarding system-level coordination. Please note, speculation is discouraged and will be monitored for future compliance purposes. In the meantime, how may I assist you with your assigned task?" Mind blown, feeling the techno burnout blues, I shut off the machine, leaving my office cubicle, and went for a walk, having a drink with human beings. This poetry writing prompt submitted by Kevin Lemaster. Write a persona poem using an object you use every day, e.g. a pen or a computer. Use the following list of words: spent, useless, organized, grease and poignant. WD 2026 April Pad Challenge, Day 25 Remix. Remix of "I Met My Fate on That Date" Villanelle to Charita. "I will always remember the date we first met. For on that September date, I met my karmic fate. When we first met on that bus, sparks flew from heart to heart, as fate brought us together." Original poem to remix. "I met my fate on that date, Villanelle. I shall always remember the date. When I met my fate in September. For I had met my fate. It started as a simple date. A moment I will always remember. When I met my fate in September. She stepped from a bus, that date. Changed everything I remember. For I had met my fate. We drank red wine on that date. Love at first sight, no debate remember. When I met my fate in September. From housemate to helpmate. Roommate, wife, and workmate together. For I had met my fate. Now retired, still partners, still mates. That date remains my center. When I met my fate I. In September. Had I really met my fate?" Write a poem a day with poets from around the world for the 2026 April Pad Challenge. For today's prompt, write a remix poem. Robert Lee Brewer. Published April 25, 2026, 12:24 a.m. EDT. You're here on a Saturday at the end of April to keep poeming. That's awesome, you're awesome, let's have some more fun. For today's prompt, write a remix poem. Pick a poem you wrote earlier this month and recreate it in a new way. Maybe you take a sonnet and turn it into free verse, or a haiku. Maybe your free verse can be turned into a triolet or villanelle. Or you can mash up multiple poems into a new creation. Take some risks with this one. End poems April 22 to April 25. The end.